Amen, amen. God is worthy of our praise. God is so good. Well, today is CCA Day, a day we celebrate God for what He has done over the last 50 years through our academy. I'm not sure what the dream was 50 years ago, but I'm glad that somebody had a dream, and it was bigger than you can imagine. I want to start with the most recent folks I want to recognize today. If you are a student right now at CCA, would you stand up? Whether you're a preschooler all the way through 12th grade, would you stand up? We want to recognize the students who are participating now in our school. It's pretty amazing. We have well over 100 students that we are ministering with from 6 weeks old all the way through our senior in high school. That's exciting that we have that many students, about 125, 130. I don't know where the numbers are exactly, but there's a lot of students. Downstairs, we say downstairs is upstairs, but now we're downstairs, upstairs, and across the way, which is good. We're taking over the campus during the week, Monday through Friday. If you are one of those patient, loving, caring teachers that have to put up with these students during the week, would you stand right now? If you're a current teacher, we want to certainly recognize you. Thank you for serving the way you do, loving the little ones to the big ones, and oh man, God is working through you. And what I know is that every student here and every teacher here, you stand on the shoulders of some mighty people who've come before you. Certainly 50 years here is a long time, a lot of faithfulness, because a lot of preschoolers, a lot of preschools, a lot of academies and churches, they don't last. It's hard economically. It's hard to find good staff. It's hard on the church-school relationship. But God has had His hand on these two partnerships for a long time, and He has sustained it, and not only sustained it, it is growing, unlike it ever has. So we're just thrilled what God is doing. But I want to recognize those who have been a part of the school before. If you, and I'm just going to start here with students. If you were a student at some point, whether you were in the preschool, you were a six-week-old, or you were some elementary school student, would you stand if you've been a student here in the past, before this current batch that we have? Current student, or past students. Look at this. We got a few back here. All the way even to the top, too. Where is Jeff? Jeff is way back in the back, one of our first students ever. But good. Glad. And now let me recognize the teachers. If you've ever served with Crossroads Christian Academy or North Peachtree Academy in the past, would you stand? And I want to recognize the teachers who've been a part of sustaining this ministry for so long. Thank you. God has certainly blessed the school through you, and I know it was a blessing because many of you, when you came, you didn't just serve for a year or two. I mean, you were here for many years. You saw many faces. You changed many diapers. You know, you had a lot of timeouts, you know, maybe. I don't know. But there was just a lot of love shared, and we are standing on the shoulders of those. I wanted to show just a few pictures that we've got that I found. Joe and Eleanor Spain. Pastor Joe was the one who led this church to great success and large growth, and had a vision many years ago to start this a weekday preschool. And to God be the glory, his ministry was very blessed both on the church side and in the weekday preschool. And Eleanor there, who also served alongside him and worked in our weekday preschool. Let me show you another couple of pictures. I found this one. This is at the 25th anniversary of the school. So 25 years ago, a list of teachers here, and I'm not sure who all those people are, but I'm sure some of you know them well. Let's go to the next slide. I found this one back in the early 80s, I believe. They went to the zoo, and this is just a picture of some of the kids in the pre-K program. Let's go to the next one. Here's outside in the old... I mean, you just got to see what the playground looked like back then. You may know those teachers or even those students. Let's go to another one. Another picture of some students. Don't they look so cute? Is anybody in that picture here today, by the way? Just checking. All right, let's go to the next one. There's some fun. The top right one, I read through the stuff. That's when they went to the Cabbage Patch doll place up north Georgia. And so they had a field trip there. So that was kind of exciting. Is there another one? Let's see. That may be it. Yeah, so that's all the pictures that I could discover, and I'm sure there are many more. But I want to share with you from the writing of one of our first teachers here, Laura Mitchell, and I'm going to read this to you. Joe Spain came to North Peachtree as our pastor in 1965. He had a lot of visions, and one of them was to start a weekday preschool. We had a member, Wilma Lipham, that was just as excited about it as he was. They began planning, and in the fall of 1967, they were almost ready, and so they approached me about working in the preschool. I quickly said, no. A few weeks later, Brother Joe came to me again and asked if I would go with them to a teacher's meeting to get the training. I again said, no. But after talking further, I decided to go. A few weeks later, I was asked to attend a meeting. Brother Joe came in with a stack of pink pamphlets. He gave each one of us. Immediately, I saw my name on the list of teachers. I told him my name was not supposed to be on that list. He talked me into working a few months to get the start of the school started. These few months led to 34 years. Our finances in the early days were very limited. My salary was $60 per month, and $20 of that was for Jeff's tuition. Jeff, you need to thank your mama. Our snacks were cookies and a cup of water. We had to buy special snacks out of our own pockets. As the school grew, we had a lot of requests for transportation. Brother Joe purchased a van, and it filled up immediately. The van did not have a lever to open the door, so he had to get out of the van for the children to get in and out every time. One day, he came over to the school looking for me. I should have run. Before the day was over, I had agreed for Jeff and I to ride the van so that I could open the door for the children. We picked up children in three counties, DeKalb, Gwinnett, and Fulton. We had some interesting experiences on these van rides. I'll share one. One day, Joe got on the bus and asked if anyone wanted a puppy. You can imagine how that went. Of course, all of the children did. He told them to ask their parents if they could have one. They would have to bring a note from home signed by one or both of their parents saying that they could have the puppy. One little girl named Melanie got on the van the next morning with her note. He gave her the puppy after school. Well, that night he got a phone call from the mother asking why in the world he gave her the puppy, and he could just come and get it now. Well, that morning, she had told her babysitter that she needed a note for school that she had forgotten to get from her mom. She told the babysitter to write that Melanie can have the puppy and sign my mom's name. Well, she did not get to keep the puppy. To my knowledge, he never did anything like this again. Well, Ann Bird, one of the other early teachers and formations of the school, Ann Bird and I decided to retire. We went out together. 2000 to 2001 school year was my last year. This was very rewarding as our experience, and I don't regret any of it. Well, Laura Mitchell is here today, as well as Eleanor Spain, who was a part of those early days, and I would love to recognize them as they come forward as the initiators of the school and those who kept this school running for so many times. Would you welcome them as they came down? You ladies are amazing, and what you were able to do all those years, the rewards that you see, the teachers, the children that continue to be blessed because of what you were willing to sacrifice in those early days, blessed are you. Would you pray with me as we pray for these ladies and for the continuation of God's blessing on our school? Father God, you are an amazing God. And as you planted this church in this location so many years ago, and then you brought a pastor with a vision to grow this church for your glory, to impact this community. And Father, you led him to the vision knowing that this location, this church, needed an outreach into the community as a weekday preschool and then later as a full-blown academy. Father, these ladies' sacrifices and so many others that ran alongside them, that sacrificed time and resources and finances, Father, tears and smiles. Father, because of the foundation these ladies and so many others laid, there are children being blessed. There are children being loved. There are children being educated, not only about you, but in the great academic levels that are available now through Liberty University's partnership. So, Father, I pray that these 50 years are just a glimmer of what is to come. As you grow this academy with the influence that we have, I pray we'll never forget where we've come from, always be thankful for it, but have a forward-looking vision of what you can and will do for your glory and for our joy. And we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. God bless you, ladies. Thank you. Well, last week in our church, I started the series called Dream Bigger, and what I'm doing over the next several weeks is going verse by verse through the book of Ephesians. But for today, because it's CCA day, I thought I would just stay within the book of Ephesians, but I want to pull out some principles that I think are worthy of our hearing today that have to do with children. I mean, 50 years ago, Joe Spain, the pastor at this church, had a vision to begin this weekday preschool, that children in the community could be loved, cared for, shown Christian virtues, and then just providing a need and a niche for moms and dads in this community. I don't know what his dream was. I never had the privilege of meeting Joe Spain, but I see the results and the people I've met that have known him well, that he was a big dreamer. And he would not be surprised that 50 years after the beginning of that, we're still here and continuing to grow. And so I want us to continue to have that kind of vision. Let's never get satisfied that we've arrived. God has far more for us than we can ever imagine. So let's glean from the book of Ephesians on what I believe, and we'll put it up on the slide, what five things that I think children need. Now look at this verse. This is kind of the theme verse for the book of Ephesians in this series. And it kind of gives me the dream bigger thought. It says in chapter 3, verse 20 and 21, and if you don't have your Bibles with you, you can use the red Bible in front of you, and you'll find this on page 977. But look at this verse with me. It says, "Now to him," talking about God, "now to him who is able to do far more abundantly than all that we ask or think." Anything that we can dream, he can even be bigger than that. He can accomplish far more than the highest of our thoughts. According to the power, and this is the part that we have to pay attention to. If God is God, which he is, we obviously would know that he's more powerful than anything. But here's the amazing thing. He says that he's able to do far more abundantly than all we can ask or think, according to his power that works where? In us. God can do anything without us, but most often he chooses to do his miracle work through us, which is amazing, to take broken, imperfect people and to do his perfect work through us. This academy, 50 years of it, is because of God's glory, but he did it through people. Without the people saying yes to God, even if they felt like running at the time, they said yes to God, and God did a marvelous work through them. You realize that when you limit yourself to saying, "I'll only do what I can do," you'll never see the miracles of God. But when you lay yourself on the altar of Christ and you say, "I will do whatever God desires to do through me," you will see amazing things take place. He will open doors that you could have never opened in your own power. You will accomplish far more than you could ever dream That's what can take place in a church, in a school. So now to him who is able to do far more abundantly than all that we ask or think, according to the power that works within us, and why does he even desire to work through us? Is because he gets the glory in the church that does the work, and Jesus Christ, in Jesus Christ through how many generations? All. Let's never get satisfied that our kids are just grown and they're out and that we're done. Our heartbeat ought to be for every coming generation. We've got children that are on our wedding list that have yet to be born. They'll call Jamie during the week and says, I'm pregnant, I'm looking for a daycare. After 6 weeks, you know, I'm going to have to take them somewhere. We have children in the womb, this next generation that we have already been assigned to minister to in the coming months. Isn't that amazing? We ought to keep a vision for the next generation. And what are we going to do if God blesses us with the opportunity to hold those babies, to see them walk, to partner with parents in their education, to see them grow up to be successful men and women with a testimony of how great God is, that he's working his power through them. And Jesus Christ throughout all generations, forever and ever, amen. Perhaps in 50 years, when they have the 100th anniversary and the majority of us are gone, this school will still be impacting lives everywhere in incredible ways. So today in the gleaning of this, no, come up here. I can't see what that says. Yes. Thank you. Something exciting, and I want everybody to be a part of this first part. Something exciting this beginning of the day. Let me introduce Jennifer Jordan, who's going to say what she needs to say because I can't remember what I'm supposed to say because I forgot about the time.
Okay. Good morning. I'm Jennifer, and today we are going to start a crossroads celebration kind of kids' church. And so we wanted everybody to be a part of this first part of this service because we were celebrating CCA Day. But right now, if you are children age fifth grade down to kindergarten, then you can go out into the lobby and I'll meet you and we'll go downstairs and have some fun singing some songs, learning about God, and playing some games. And then next Sunday when you show up, parents can just sign them in the lobby, and then we'll go downstairs during the service and do that the whole service, and then you can pick them up downstairs at the end. So we're super excited about it, and we hope that you'll join us. Thank you.
Excellent. Thank you for reminding me of that. Yes, I did forget about you, but okay. Great. So you can be a part of that, and you can pick up your kids right afterwards. You don't have to participate, but if you choose to do so, I know they're going to have a great time learning a Bible story, singing some songs, and hopefully desire to come back next week, which would be good. So we'll see you guys in just a short little time period. All right, so let me go to the next slide here. The time we've got left, because I know the food trucks are going to be ready, and I know that the bounce houses are going to be exciting, but I want to not leave here until we have been impacted by God's truth about the next generation. Here's my goal today. I want to show five gifts children need. Whether you have grandchildren, children, you're a teacher, or you just have kids somewhere in the neighborhood, you should have this type of vision. And there's more in Ephesians than this, but I'm just limiting our focus today to just five of them. Five things that I think that children need based on God's word. Let's go to number one. The first one is children need a foundation that is bigger than them. Sometimes when children are born, they think that the whole world revolves around them. It takes them a few years to realize the whole world doesn't revolve around them. They are not their own foundation. You know, it appears that way that everybody, they want to pick them up and kudos, oh, how wonderful are you? But you know, and everybody has to attend to their needs, certainly in the first year or two. That's certainly true. But they need a foundation as they grow and understand that they need a foundation that's bigger than them. Just a couple of areas that the Ephesians talks about that they need to know. First, that they are blessed. First, because they have life, they've been blessed. But because God has ordained their existence, they are blessed. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us in Christ. He has birthed us intentionally on this planet so we could be in Christ with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places. We are blessed. You know, not only are we blessed, they are wanted. Every child should hear from you that they were wanted. In verse 4, it says, even as he chose us in him before the foundation of the world. Do you know when your child was thought of? Before you and your mate got together. God thought of your child before the foundation of the world. Every child is wanted. Now, not every child is planned. Would you agree with that? I was at a dinner banquet last night, a fundraiser for the Atlanta Pregnancy Resource Center. Several of you were there as well. And the whole point of that ministry is to help women and fathers that are in a position of an unplanned pregnancy and perhaps even a crisis situation going, I don't know what to do. And the majority who walk in those doors are abortion-minded, saying, I didn't plan this, I don't know what to do, I think it's just best to terminate the pregnancy. But when they walk into the doors of the Atlanta Pregnancy Resource Center, without pressure, they're at least shown some different options. Adoption. Or a church that might run alongside them to help them with the financial difficulty and strain it is to be a single mother or a very poor family. And so over the last 10 years, and that's what we were celebrating last night, over the last 10 years, they have had over 600 babies that were going to be aborted now living, existing, because they were wanted. They may not have been planned, but God wanted them. And they have been able to run alongside these families. Just imagine, there are some 10-year-olds here living in Atlanta today that were not planned, but they were wanted. And so every child needs to hear, you're wanted. The foundation is that you're blessed, but you're wanted. God wants you. You're also needing to hear this, that you are loved. In verse 5, in love he predestined us for adoption in himself as sons through Jesus Christ according to the purpose of his will, that God loves them. Certainly there are many verses throughout the New Testament, Old Testament that say the same thing, but focusing in Ephesians, every person needs to know you're loved, you're wanted, you're blessed, and you have a purpose. You go to chapter 2, it says, for we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand. When? Before the foundation of the world. He knew the personality he was going to give you. He knew the gifts and skills he was going to give you. He knew the opportunities that you were going to have. He created you and designed you uniquely. You have a purpose. Not only are you wanted, are you loved, and you're blessed, that you have a purpose for being here. That we should walk in them. That's why your education matters. Because you have a purpose and God's preparing you to fulfill that purpose. Your personality matters. Have you ever met people that are a little weird? Yes, if you've looked in the mirror anytime lately, you have seen somebody who's a little weird, because all of us are weird in our own ways, yes? Every one of us are unique. Every one of our personalities, there's no two of us just alike. But God has uniquely shaped us that way. Some of you teachers could give testimony about that child who's just a little different. But you maybe over the season, the school year or two, you see that they were uniquely shaped by God, and without them, your class wouldn't be as much fun. That they are uniquely designed by God and gifted, and sometimes some of the weirdest among us are the most successful in bringing solutions to economic problems, maybe cures for diseases, maybe the very person that doesn't like to be up on the stage, but there's that individual who sits back quietly, that's the very person you'll end up talking to when you need a counselor in your future. Your education matters, your personality matters, your skills matter, your heart and desire matter. God made every one of us unique for your joy and for his glory. I think a child needs to understand the foundation that God has made them. Here's the second thing that every child needs. They need a family that has a big love and respect for each other. In the book of Ephesians, chapter 5, it has a great picture of what marriage ought to be like. Now, I realize not every child grows up in a two-parent home, but every child had two parents to exist. I think that's still true. So even if a mom and dad are not married, if the father and the mother would learn to love and respect each other, whether they're in the home together or they're apart, they need to learn and to love and respect each other for the sake of that child, because the child needs a family that is a big love and respect for each other. Why? Statistically, children raised in homes with healthy marriages are more likely to attend college, are more successfully, or more physically and emotionally healthier, are less likely to use drugs and alcohol, are less likely to become pregnant as a teenager, are more likely to have healthy marriages themselves. Now, I realize not every child grows up in a home with mom and dad, but I tell you that the influence of the parents is huge. Take that responsibility. Pray for families. If you know of families that don't have two parents in the household, maybe you can run alongside that family to support them, pray for them, encourage them, just an extended family for them. Grandma and grandpa, you are essential in the life of your grandchildren. To continue to show faithfulness over a long period of time. I've always been encouraged by the couples that we have here that have been married 45, 50, 55, 60 years. I know you didn't have any problems in those 60 years. Not at all. Never had a fight. No, I know you went through some difficult days. But the faithfulness that God had for you and you had for each other. But help those who are struggling. Here's the third thing, and I want to harp on this a little more than even number two, is this. Children need a father with a big faith. This is more essential than any other that I list, except for the last one. In chapter 6 of Ephesians, it says, "Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Honor your father and your mother. This is the first commandment with a premise, that it may go well with you and that you may live long in the land." Stop right there. Every parent sees this and they say, amen. So, as it gives the command, the instruction to the children, then what does it say in verse 4? Fathers. It doesn't say mothers, though mothers certainly could be included. It says fathers, and there's an intentional reason for that. Fathers have a greater influence on the spiritual impact of their children than even mothers do, and I'll prove it in just a moment. Fathers, do not provoke your children to anger, but fathers, you better do this. Fathers, you better bring them up in the discipline and instruction of the Lord. If you're not living it, they won't either. The role of the father is huge. Now, I know that's a burden for some mothers' hearts, that many times in churches they'll have mothers who bring their children while the father stays home and he's cooking breakfast or he's watching football or he's golfing. And you say, well, we're going to pray that it goes well. And I know of one individual that years ago, that the wife, the mother, would come to church with her children, growing, and for many, many, many years, the husband would not attend. But in his senior adult years, he began to attend church. She never gave up praying for him. And I had the privilege of baptizing him many years ago. So never stop praying for that husband that won't come. But I want to share with you some statistics that the most comprehensive research study that I could find that revealed this, and this is their summary. It is the religious practice of the father of the family that above all determines the future attendance or participation in the life of the church for their children. So here's some of the results. If both father and mother attend regularly, the worship regularly, they attend church regularly, 74% of the children will do so as adults. That's pretty high. So if mom and dad are participating, practicing in their faith, then 74% of the children will likely do so as well. If the father is regular, but the mother is irregular or not practicing at all, 71% of the children will be participating in faith. Still pretty high. That's father involved, mother not so much. Third, if the father is irregular or not participating, and the mother is regular, only 3% of the children will become regular attenders, 3%. Will become regular attenders, 59% will become irregular attenders, and 38% will drop out completely. If the mother is regular attending, faith practicing in her church, but the father is not, 38% will drop out, 59% will just kind of come sometimes, and only 3% will actually participate all the time. And fourth, in the study, if the father is non-practicing and the mother is irregular, 2% of the children will become regular attenders. 37% may attend regularly, but over 60% of children will drop out of church. The study reveals the huge influence the father has in the faith formation of their children. Fathers, you ought to have a bigger dream for your children than that. It's huge. Granddad, sometimes you need to step into the role when a dad is absent. But I think our culture ought to start requiring of men to step up and be men. But especially the church ought to require that men step up and to lead in the way that God has called you to lead, because it's not just about you. You got to dream bigger than that. You are impacting the souls of the next generation when you abdicate your role. No father is perfect. In fact, all fathers fail. Every one of the fathers fail. I fail on a continual basis. It's not about the failures, though. Listen to me. It's about seeking a heavenly father who is full of forgiveness and even modeling seeking the heavenly father in front of your children. You fail, but there's a greater father who will give us grace and mercy. When they see a failing father seek forgiveness, perhaps they will be reminded when they fail to seek that same heavenly father for that forgiveness. Children need a father with a big faith. Fourth, children need a church family for the big lessons of life. Now back to Ephesians chapter 3, verse 20. It says this, "Now to him who is able to do far more abundantly than all that we ask or think, according to the power at work within us, to him be the glory," what? "In the church." You realize God's most effective, most miraculous working is always through the church? Can you have an individual relationship apart from the church? Yes, but you can't have a good, healthy one. Oh, but I have my quiet time and I just do things with God apart from those people who are imperfect. We always have room for more imperfect people. That's the beauty of the church. God saves imperfect people, brings them together, and does his marvelous work through the church. If you are taking yourself away from the body of Christ, then you're removing some of the most helpful elements that God has for you. When we rub shoulders with one another, when imperfect people get together, we actually can help each other in this life. And when children are growing up in your home with two imperfect parents, wouldn't it be better to bring them to a larger body of people who will love them unconditionally? I have the privilege of baptizing my son Barnabas this morning. And as I stated up there, we teach the Bible at home. We live it out. We're imperfect parents, but we're doing what we can. But I'm absolutely convinced that the children that my oldest five now have given their hearts to the Lord, and they have been baptized publicly in front of others. That has taken place because of God's sovereignty and the love the church has provided for them. Have you ever, as a parent, said something to your kids and they think, "You're as dumb as a brick"? And then somebody else says the same thing, and they came home and they think that person is Einstein. "You'll never believe what I just heard. You know what so-and-so over here said? It was just amazing." And I'm thinking, "I just said that yesterday." But this is the beauty of God's people. He gives you the responsibility of your children. So certainly, be very aware of who's influencing them. Don't just assume that it's all going to work out. I mean, make sure that they are around good people that will echo some of the things you're saying. But listen to me. It takes a lot of people to influence a person. And I think back over my many years of life, I think of the various people who've impacted me. I didn't have the greatest male figures in my life, in my home, but outside of my home, I mean, I have my grandfather who had made a huge impact in my life. But I think of some godly men in the church that influenced me, that I am the man who I am today because of the people in the church that invested in me. I'm so thankful for that. What are some things you can learn in the church? You can learn unity. I'm just going to hit some of these highlights quickly. Unity. The world's all chaotic, and even sometimes the church is disunified. It's not working. But the essence of when people come and humble themselves before God, he shows a unity that cannot be replicated anywhere on the planet. With all humility and gentleness and with patience, bearing with one another in love, eager to maintain the unity of the Spirit and the bond of peace. That's what should take place in a church, and I want my children to experience that here. Unity. What else can you get in the church? Truth. Therefore, having put away falsehood, let each one of you speak the truth with his neighbor, for we are members of one another. I want truth to come out of my mouth for my kids, but I want truth to come out of your mouth for them as well. You know, one of the beautiful things about our academy is that not everybody who attends our academy believes what we teach from the Bible. Some are atheist, some are of other religions, some haven't thought about it in years, but they just know they needed a good, loving place for their child, somewhere safe. So as they bring them here, do you realize that our teachers have the opportunity to model truth and to share godly truth with these kids? And guess what these children do when they go home? They parrot what they've heard. And they, our teachers have an opportunity to impact homes that the truth is not shared because they're taking the lips of a child to share it. That's beautiful. I'm thankful we're not a covenant school and you've got to be all in the family before you can be a part of our school. No, we're open. We're unapologetically Christian. We believe Jesus and we're going to share that liberally with everybody. We're going to love everybody who walks in the door. But you don't have to believe exactly like we do to come. But I've seen families change. I've seen some hearts of children change. I've seen some parents who come and ask me if I would pray with them because they realize that we have a relationship with God that they currently do not have. And truth. What are things you can find in the church? Sharing. Let him labor, doing honest work with his own hands so that he may have something to share with anyone in need. When we, in a church, learn that everyone has needs, and when God has blessed us with something and gifts and skills and that we can produce, that there's a joy that we can share with one another. When someone's in need. We've got people we don't even know that we're helping right now. I mean, Hurricane Harvey, Hurricane Irma is ravished homes and families and upset. I mean, a few of you, how many of you lost power for at least a day in the last week? How many of you lost it for like 4 days? How many of you didn't lose power at all? You can leave. I'm just telling you. But you know what's happening? I mean, we had a little disruption. Not a big deal. I know we're like, oh, my mom lost power the whole week. You know, but there are people who've lost their homes. But right now, we get to participate in the offerings of that we can help those with disaster relief, though financially, and through prayer, and we've sent volunteers to the various areas to help. That's what we do. That happens in the church. The church, wrapping our arms around others that we may not even know, but they too are being loved by God through our efforts. Sharing, that's what our children need to learn, that we share when others are in need. Here's the next one, encouragement. Anybody need encouragement today? I certainly do, often. It's what you learn in the church. As Paul, the apostle, is writing this, he says, let no corrupting talk come out of your mouths. Just turn off the nightly news and you'll accomplish some of that. Turn off some of the radio stations that you listen to. It says, no, let no corrupting talk come out of your mouths. You expect that of children, you might expect that of yourself. And in the church, we expect that. Let no corrupting talk come out of your mouths, but only such as good as building up, as fits the occasion, that it may give grace to those who hear. Children need to be lifted up and encouraged, told about the greater things, not torn down. One of the great motivators is not cutting down, but always building up. What words do you say that build up and not tear down? Encouragement, that's what you should get in the church. And kindness. Be kind to one another, tender-hearted, forgiving one another as God in Christ forgave you. This is just as true for adults as it is for children, and children need this, and you should be able to learn that through the church. Kindness. and last strength. In chapter 6 of Ephesians, it speaks about finally be strong in the Lord and the strength of his might. Put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand against the schemes of the devil. Now, we're going to learn more about this as I walk verse by verse through it. But the entire book of Ephesians is written to the corporate body of the church. We think very individualistically as Americans, but the Bible here is being written to the church. And so when it talks about loving one another, it's a body. It talks about everybody put together to make one holy church. When we get to chapter 6 and we deal with the whole armor of God, we sometimes slip back into the individualistic side of things, which there's a principle here. Yes, we need to have a helmet of salvation. We need to have a breastplate of righteousness. We need to have shoes of peace. But if you stay with the whole context of Ephesians, he's still talking about the church, meaning all of you together need to have a breastplate. All of you together need the sword of the Spirit. All of you combined are stronger than you'll ever be individually apart. Children need to learn that they are not independent, isolated creatures, but together within the body you find strength. That's why everybody ought to be a part of an encouraging small group of people who pray for you, that hold you accountable. You will find strength to live your life when you're within the body of Christ. How many of you have been strengthened by others in here that have run alongside you during times? Man, there's testimony after testimony. I wish we had time. Here's the last thing that I want to share, and I'm going to hit some of these in the future, but the last thing I want to hit upon you, what do children need? Children need a faith in a big God. We have failed as a church, we have failed as an academy, if we don't talk about the big God that every child, we pray, will have faith in. Let me just hit a couple of the verses. In chapter 3, verse 17, it says, so that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith. That's what our prayer is for every child who comes through our academy. That they would be rooted and grounded in love, that they would have their own faith. In chapter 2, verse 8 and 9, this is how faith happens. For by grace you have been saved through faith. This is not their own doing. It's a gift of God, not as a result of works that anyone can boast. It's not about what they do, but it's about who they trust. But here's the truth of every child and every adult. In chapter 2, verse 1, it says, and you were dead in your trespasses and sins. Realize that every child is born sinful, separated from God. It actually goes on in the rest of the text. It says that you're a child of wrath. That's harsh language. We're not born as children of God. We're born as creations of God who have the opportunity to become children of God. It's a big difference. Every one of us were created, but until we trust by faith in Christ alone, we're not children of God. But this is what it says in chapter 2, verse 12. Here's the good news. Remember that you were at that time separated from Christ. That's the condition of all of us. Where you were in a position with no hope and you were without God in this world. That's true of every child. They're without God, meaning they have no hope. But that's not the end of the story. Verse 13. Or going down, it says now this, but now in Christ Jesus. Last week I talked about but God, but there's a later one down a little further. But now in Christ Jesus, when you have faith in him, in Christ Jesus, you who are once far off have been brought near. Why? How? Christ died, shed his blood on a cross, was buried, and was raised 3 days later, conquering death. And that all the sins that you have committed are forgiven, have been crucified with Christ. Therefore, we no longer have to live under that sin, but now we can be raised to walk in a brand new life with him. To be a child of God, you have to have faith in Christ alone. That's good news. You either remain a child of wrath or you remain a child of God by faith in him. Every child needs to hear that. Would you pray with me? Father, thank you for this day, an opportunity to recognize what you have done over the last 50 years, an opportunity to be thankful for our teachers that are serving and have served over these many years, thankful for the students who have the privilege of being here. I'm thankful for the families who've chosen Crossroads Christian Academy to partner with as we help shape the educational minds and the spiritual hearts of every child. Father, I pray now that as we conclude our service, that you would just bless our hearts. You would help us to have a great time outside. But let us keep that message and let it linger in our minds. If we don't have a personal relationship with Jesus Christ, I pray that we would do so. I pray that we would seek out one of the leaders or myself that they could pray with, talk with, set up an appointment and have longer discussions about. But Father, this is real and you wanted us to hear it. Father, we thank you for all that you're doing, and we pray for your mighty blessings and your power to work through us for your glory and for our joy. In Jesus' name I pray, amen.